And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb. Looks just like Jesus. Looks like the Lamb. But when he speaks, what he has to say, his message identifies him as speaking not for Jesus, though he's the imitation. He's getting his message from Satan. Now, Antichrist literally means substitute deliverer. And the white horse that comes out when the first seal of the tribulation is opened looks like Jesus. But as he looks like Jesus here, a lamb in appearance, when he speaks, his message is from the dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast, who is this possessed ruler of earthly power, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. This appearance of a lamb, false prophet, who gets his message from the dragon, will cause the whole world to worship the first beast, and he's identified again as the one whose deadly wound had healed, but now is out of the abyss and possessing the earthly ruler of that eighth kingdom. And this prophet doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means, the false prophet's doing all this, deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword. King James is not saying it correctly. It's the same phraseology as earlier, which is the head wounded to death, we know is in the bottomless pit, who will come out to possess the ruler of the eighth kingdom. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he, who's the he? False prophet. He causeth all, get the false prophet distinguished here. We got the FP and the AG, just remember that. The false prophet, he causeth all, verse 16, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The whole world will be forced to take the mark of the beast, 666, which is symbolic of possession, as numbers are, three times the number of manifestation, humanity maximized, and it is the false prophet, not the Antichrist, who makes them take the mark of the beast. Now, I want you to be real honest. There's not going to be as many in this church as in other churches, because most of you were heathen. But if this were a traditional church, I would get probably 80% to raise their hand. I'm curious, in this church, how many, prior to the teaching series we've done here, used to hear it taught, and whether you believed it or not, had the impression given to you by Bible teachers that the Antichrist, the beast, made people take his mark. Let me see your hand. How many of you are now convinced on clear one of the least confusing sections of Scripture there is, that it is the false prophet who makes people take the mark without the religious influence to the end? Antichrist could not achieve his control. I hate this verse of Scripture. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. And the word means oversight. You know why I have fought the government intrusion into churches so much? The ultimate religious expression of evil on this earth will be this partnership. The church ruler, approved by government, who reciprocates by selling government in its authority over all dimensions of their life, including religious, to the people. That bad marriage, typified by Pergamos Church in the early days of medieval history. This false prophet makes the power of the Antichrist beast crystallize. Even this demon, this AG demon, possessing the ruler of the eighth kingdom, he doesn't have the power with all of his miracles to get it done. The false prophet does this job for him. Now, this passage just read of the lamb with two horns that looks like Jesus but gets his message from the dragon is another picture of this woman riding on the beast, who through the centuries has had this characteristic of riding on the strength and back of these evil beast kingdoms who are spawned by Satan in his plan with Nimrod at Babylon, and have been the beastly kingdoms with one objective, and that's to do away with God's plan of redemption for man in this earth. So this evil woman will have a quality of making her accommodations with government down through the ages. But now let me gestalt the point that I've been working on, which is absolutely necessary to keep some weak, sincere, good people from stumbling and being exploited by Satan and their hurts as we identify the whore of the book of Revelation. Here's the gestalt. A mistake has been made many times, thinking that this earthly ruler of the ten-toed kingdom, ten-horn kingdom, restored book, or restored Roman Empire, who will become the earthly foci of the beast, the Alexander the Great beast that will possess him and turn him into perdition. Many people have made the mistake of thinking that Antichrist is born somewhere in this world, practices by dematerializing his sister with a look, or the stuff of which movies are made, looking out a window, squinting his eyes, and his neighbor's house burns. Found in the backyard of his neighbors performing voodoo rites on their pet chicken. And the search is on. Is the Antichrist alive in the world today? Now, the Muslims look for a hidden iman, the eighth one. Their view of the Messiah. And their view is that he is secretly alive as an individual somewhere in the world before he reveals himself. And it is true that in Paul's day, the spirit of iniquity was alive and working. But let me tell you that Antichrist, the real Antichrist, who is this AG demon, Alexander the Great demon, who was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and control and rule the eighth kingdom. He's not yet out yet. As of today, as for the centuries back to the death of Alexander the Great, he is still in the bottomless pit. He's not out. This is going to paradoxically blow theological minds. But as surely as Judas, to the moment of the Last Supper, could have received Christ's forgiveness and redemption, but proved himself in realization to be a son of the devil from the beginning. And I deal in paradox, so don't try to make it logical. Just as surely, in God's sovereignty, without being boxed in, whichever individual in the world today has the capacity of being that little horn who will uproot in the leadership of his earthly kingdom two other horns, or however many, and will then be given a kingdom that will continue but a short space, which is prior to being possessed of the devil, right up to the hour he could receive God's mercy and another choice be made. Now, do I think that'll happen? No, I really don't. I think that you set patterns in your life of responding to God's call or not responding to God's call that stamps a permanence that will be followed. But logically and paradoxically, you can't let any creedal position box God in until he cannot change his mind. The reverse of what he did with old Eli. When he said, don't tell me about my promises in Aaron. I've told that, said that, and I'm saying this. God's right to redeem is absolute. The measure of redemption price is unlimited. Now, I say that so graphically because I want the mind leaning over a precipice where I can catch it with this. What, in essence, I'm saying is the little horn ruler, during the short span he's ruling the seventh kingdom, may be evil in whatever measure, as all men are evil, may be under the influence of demonic forces and the princes associated with the prince of the power of the air, as all are until they are delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit. But he is not Antichrist until the second that this demon comes out of the bottomless pit and possesses him. Antichrist is not a natural product. Antichrist is not somebody living on this earth with parapsychological genes that enable him to do miraculous works. Antichrist is a man with proneness to evil, as all men are, whose proneness to evil has been accentuated by a vacuum of power of the kingdom that's been given to him. But until the moment that the demon possesses him, he's not Antichrist. Thus, the harlot woman church may have the characteristics of the ages, and the harlot woman church may have had leaders in it down through the years, possessed of other demons, as the prince of Persia possessed the kings of Persia and yielded that position to the prince of Grecia. And the leader at the time that this little horn rules a brief span of time prior to being possessed by the beast out of the pit, the Alexander the Great demon, the ruler of this false church, which will be existing in the earth, which will be a church still here in form, not in substance, structure, but no spiritual life, that church with an earthly ruler of that church of great breadth and power, with roots of history that characterize it as fulfilling this picture of the woman riding on the shoulders of the beast down through the ages, which in essence means more Babylonish in its liturgy and worship and creed than Christian, and thus having its roots all the way back to Nimrod, who has injected his mind and the voice of the dragon into and influenced throughout the ages. That leader is no more the false prophet than the ruler of this seventh kingdom is Antichrist, and the ruler of this seventh kingdom, which is Antichrist, is not Antichrist until the beast from the pit enters in him. The false prophet is not the false prophet until the dragon possesses him also. Which puts me to the point where I can discuss the false church in structure and creed without somebody thinking that whichever church has that quality of structure and creed, every adherent to that church today, prior to the rapture, is equally condemned and ostracized. That church is the vehicle in structure, and its leader becomes the crock, if you will, the earthen vessel into which a demon force equal to that which is empowering the Antichrist himself will give his message and possess him as a mouthpiece of Satan. That means Raymond Carlson has got a chance. If he's still here after the rapture, which I don't think he thinks he will be. And if somebody's struggling to keep Springfield alive and effective and putting out the Pentecostal evangel every week after the rapture, and if they have the other qualities that characterize this woman, then I think G. Raymond needs to worry that one morning he's going to get up and a force from the pit of hell is going to give him his message. Now, I'm staying ludicrous because obviously the Assemblies of God is not the false church. But when I identify that church, do you understand that that church identified as having all the qualities that makes it capable of being used for this purpose, it doesn't necessarily mean if your mother belongs to that church that she's on her way to hell and possessed by Satan, nor does it mean that the current leadership of that church is possessed and getting its message straight from the dragon. You understand? Otherwise, the message will be misunderstood. Now, let's look at the qualities that identify this woman next Sunday.